Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. May it be written in our hearts and lived in our lives for your name's sake. Amen. This is the last of our little series on the Lord's prayers. We have done 6 weeks on what we know as the Lord's Prayer, and now, well, let's hear one of Jesus's other prayers. And for home group leaders, there is a study on a blue sheet of paper that are available at the back for your home groups. Please take a set and do use this in the next week or two, wherever you've got up to. So this is one of Jesus's other prayers. We see him praying here in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. At the same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Now, there are several helpful, important things here. First, I want to say is this. Some Christians think that set prayers are always preferable, you know, liturgical prayers. They might say liturgical prayers are superior because they are the result of Bible teaching and practical use by Christians over many years. Indeed, the Lord's Prayer is just such a pattern for prayer, which has become part of our set prayers. But here in Luke 10, Jesus prays a spontaneous prayer. So the Lord's prayers include spontaneous prayers. And the fact that Luke points out that his prayer is inspired by the Holy Spirit makes us recognize that spontaneous prayers to our Heavenly Father are as spiritual as good liturgy, like the Lord's Prayer. So there's a challenge in this. Do you pray spontaneous prayers? We should, any time of day or night. Prayers of thanks or praise. Prayers of lament and tears. Prayers of companionship or confession. I can't tell you what, otherwise it wouldn't be spontaneous. And faithful, like Jesus's prayer here. And he is so happy that the mission of the 70 has gone well. And out it comes. Thank you, Father. So please make sure that your prayer life includes spontaneous prayers of the moment, as well as a pattern of liturgical prayers like the Lord's Prayer. Jesus did that. And he invites us to cry out to his Heavenly Father like he did. As I said before, I can't teach you how to pray spontaneous prayers, maybe by example, but basically it comes by doing it. I'm not going to say practice by saying a spontaneous prayer at 12 noon every day, because that's not the point, but please do it. It's part of a Christian prayer life. It's a spiritual part of a spiritual prayer life. There's a second thing we can learn here, which is that it's important that our spontaneous prayers aren't too self-indulgent or self-absorbed. Can you see, if you've got your Bible open still, in verse 17 and following, Jesus is so pleased that his 70 trainees have come back from their mission and it's gone well. As As they said, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Now, on the basis of that, it would have been quite possible for a spontaneous prayer to go a bit like this. Thank you, Father in heaven, that our mission has gone so well and that even the demons did as we told them. But that's not such a good prayer, says Jesus. There's a better one. Can you see his response in verse 18? He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yes, it's true, Jesus is saying. My authority did enable you to prevail against your enemies, but don't make that your prayer. Do not. The thing to rejoice about, says Jesus, is that your names are written in heaven. You're Christians, chosen and called by Jesus, with a promise from him to be his forever. Why rejoice about that? Why is that better? Well, for one, it avoids us getting proud and self-satisfied. If we pray spontaneous prayers about all the great things we've done, we sound self-absorbed, and indeed that reflects in how we are. It's not good to pray like that. Instead, pray something we haven't done. Have we written our names in heaven? No, we can't. We're not there yet. Only Jesus can do that. He's there, and he's preparing it. So rejoice about what Jesus has done, not so much about what we have done. That's the second lesson to learn from the Lord's Prayer, which is here. Jesus rejoices in what the Father has done, as an example of a good spontaneous prayer. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Do you see what delighted Jesus? That those who are full of their own wisdom and knowledge find that God is hidden. Those that are full of themselves cannot understand the things of God. Those of us who think that we can know it all because of our great intelligence find we are puzzled and perplexed and unable to grasp the things of God, spiritual things. The other side of the coin, which also delighted Jesus, those who, like little children, realize that they do not know it all, far from it, find that God reveals himself to them and that they understand the things of God, even though much more intelligent people might not understand these things. And so this shows that it's a gift. A gift to the humble. And Jesus is so pleased about this delightful way in which God turns upside down the ways of this world and the expectations of so many, especially the arrogant, that he bursts out in spontaneous prayer. Prayer about what his heavenly Father has done. That's a challenge if you see things in the way which so many in this world see them. Jesus sees them differently because his heavenly Father has shown us differently. Then in the last part of this little prayer, Jesus does point to himself. You might say, oh, I'm contradicting myself. But Jesus points to himself in a way in which no other human being could. Can you see in verse 22, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, some might say this is rather self-regarding, and there is some truth in that. Jesus is teaching and praying does make big claims about himself. He claims to be the only way to God. He claims to be God, which is terribly self-absorbed if it's false, but if it's true, it is just him giving his followers more essential help with their prayer life, because it reminds us that we can pray to Jesus with the Lord's Prayer, the spontaneous prayers that Jesus inspires us to do. We can pray to the Lord Jesus as well as his Heavenly Father. Pray through me, he says. Only through me, he says. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, who the Father is except the Son. And thank me, he says. It's the Son who chooses to reveal him. That's helpful, assuming it's true. And we don't have to just assume it's true, because we have the evidence of Jesus' working and teaching consistently over those 3 years of his ministry from those who were eyewitnesses and faithful describers and recorders. In amongst the working and teaching, we have these snippets of Jesus' praying. And that is, if we want to pray well, very helpful too. So, one of the Lord's other prayers for our inspiration, practical instruction, and spiritual understanding. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you help us to pray. Please, Lord, help us to pray better, more humbly, more faithfully, more spontaneously. Amen.